NBC presents a Stan Kenton concert. Behind the scenes transcribed, a leader and his orchestra. Mr. Kenton, it's yours. You know, there's a lot of anxiety in this business, and also there's a lot of apprehension. One thing that brings it about is a common plea for help, screamed not only by music publishers, recording companies, but of also the artists. It's kind of phrased like this: who can help me get a hit record? Oh, it's general knowledge that the public feels that they're pretty sure that they can tell a hit when they hear one. But those of us that are in the trade know that it's pretty much impossible. Even after years and years of experience of producing phonograph records, no one has gained enough knowledge to be able to say, this will be a hit and this will not. We're never quite sure. It's a wonderful thing to make a phonograph record and gain the affection of hundreds of thousands of people, people who have purchased the record and play it time and time again. It does many things for an artist. It broadens his popularity, it raises his grosses, and, so to speak, it does great things for his personal appearances. It's a brilliant thing, hit record. We try to get a clever piece of material. We say, this is fresh. It's never been done before. This is the tempo it should be. This makes it a happy thing. And, well, the lyrics are real cute. We get a good phonograph record after trying it out by performing it in front of the public and gaining from their reaction at that time. And we finally say we believe we have it and we've got it recorded. But you know something? Nothing.
Need that.
Somehow, someday, if I ever meet this mastermind of all music, my first question is going to be, Mister, what happened with Feet's Too Big for the Bed? What was wrong with it? Maybe he can tell me. I hope he will. Sometimes it's actually comical. We were in a studio once. We were so determined to get a hit record that we did not come unprepared in any manner. We had the lyric writer, the melody writer, the arranger, the producer, and all kinds of technical advisors. We made a master, and we made it 4 or 5 times. We finally changed the tempo a bit. Finally, we were determined not to leave the studio until we were absolutely sure that we had a hit. After a couple of hours, we all agreed, we've got it now. This is it. It can't miss. We went home happy, feeling that we had on the shelf that night a hit record. And you know something? Nothing again. To those of us that liked After You, it was a hit to us, but it wasn't a hit to the record industry. It did not enjoy that wonderful distinction of being marked down as a hit record. Not enough people purchased it. However, back in the studio again, there's always a tomorrow. This time I conceived a magnificent idea. I talked to all concerned. They agreed with me. We went into the studio, and I don't think that ever before have we had such luck. The sound was perfect. Intonation of the orchestra flawless. The band played most excitingly. The record came out finished, a product that I said had great commercial value as well as great artistic content. We all shook hands again, congratulated each other, showed each other a lot of affection. What a magnificent group of creators. Again, you know something? The public said no. Thank you. identify that one, the one that didn't happen. That was a tenor saxophone solo by Vito Musso, blended in with the orchestration of Pete Rugolo and the melody everybody knows and loves, Pagliacci. This time I thought it might be a good idea if we changed the formula. We said no original music this time. Let's pick something that is going to have the help of possibly a great motion picture. We'll do it differently. We'll even escape from the jazz idiom, so to speak, for the moment, and not use any strong brass, no jazz solos, and we'll lay off of the rhythm. We picked a song out of a very famous motion picture. Other records were being made on it, 6 or 7. We have the help of other artists. We'll get the finest record we know how. We made it. Here it is. A lot of people didn't believe that was us, the Kenton Orchestra. No trumpet section, no jazz solos, and no swing rhythms. A complete departure. Something poetic in content, a lullaby, a thing called hushaby. And then again, things confuse you like this. At one period of time, we made 2 records. It was time to make a third, and it was suggested by Pete Rugolo, arranger, that we record a number that up till that time had not been used only as a kind of a pace setter in theater engagements. Something that I never thought important enough to make a phonograph record, and I objected. I said, no, I don't think that it will mean enough. There's no use wasting the time, the material, nor the money. And somehow, to give in to those that I work with, after a lot of insistence on their part, I said, okay, we'll try.
Thank you.
The thing that was done just to satisfy a group of my associates was something I had to thank them for. The composition, the record Love for Sale, of course, is history in the Kenton books and a very important part of them. I think without the following things, this business would be a pretty tiring thing. Once in a while, we get to take credit where credit is due. We conceived an arrangement, we recorded it, we believed in it, and this time, it made it. That was the peanut vendor. The thing that made that such an important thing at a particular time was after making so many records and having mistakes. At least this one came along. I said, I believe in it, and it did achieve. It was successful. It kind of bolstered my ego because at that time I was looking for other forms of endeavor. I decided that I was in the wrong business. What a baffling thing, the music business. Like show business, it's based upon public affection. We all are working for their favor, and without their favor, we cannot exist. You know, insecurity in this field is something worse than a green-eyed monster. You can have 7 successful records and the 8th one will miss. Already you become afraid. Like on the road, you have 3 months of successful one-nighters. All of a sudden we'll say the shingle is hung out some night and it says Stan Kenton's orchestra and no one comes. Panic immediately. What happened? What did we do last year when we played here? Did they like it? Is this the first time? Are the records heard around here? Maybe this reign of popularity, so to speak, that we've enjoyed has exhausted itself. And this panic will prevail until another successful date comes along to start bolstering this thing that we call ego again. What a wonderful business, the music business. Good night, everybody.
NBC has brought you another Stan Kenton concert, behind the scenes transcribed with a leader and his orchestra, or as Mr. Kenton calls it, My World is Music. Next week, join us again for another Stan Kenton concert. This has been an NBC Radio Network production. Tomorrow, hear Groucho Marx and You Bet Your Life on NBC.